gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, just a little jaunty pre-show banter, which in many, many workplaces would count as sexual harassment, absolutely. But not here.
No.
Here it is encouraged.
Natan, why haven't you sexually harassed Stephanie yet?
Yeah, well, he's new. We have sexual harassment seminars, but they're designed to teach you how to sexually harass me.
Exactly.
As evidenced by the picture of Jim and I at Phoenix Sexy Liberal,
wow.
Which I encouraged. I was not a defensive end at all.
I think he's the one who said, take it.
Right. I was like, all right. The elderly woman thanks you. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I am so excited about today's show, I may explode. I don't even know where to begin. Have you ever had everything come together in a perfect moment?
Where do I begin?
Right, to tell the story of how perfect today's show is. I'm just going to say, okay, for instance, Jim, who said, centuries from now, when the several remaining humans are huddled around a dwindling fire, pondering how each of them will kill the others and eat their still warm flesh, the most boring among the remnant will pose the question, who's to blame for all this? Someone will mention the Koch brothers. Someone else will bring up BP. Maybe our old friend the Keystone Pipeline will get a moan out, while the silent one in the corner sizes up available rocks and studies the heads of his companions. If I'm not around, I hope at least one of them will summon up their last remaining breath and say, that noodle brain bag of useless fresh David Gregory, before collapsing in a heap. Who said that?
Benjamin Franklin Hawkeye Pierce.
No. Oh, well, that was
See what I did there?
Charlotte Pierce, who is on the big show. Because obviously he was as struck as we were by the climate change debate we had on
right.
the press between
right.
noted Tea Party doofus Marsha Blackburn and Bill Nye, the science guy.
There's a reason he's called the science guy.
And by the way, see, as part of the kismet today, Chris,
yep.
because with the stroke of a pen, oh no, black man with a pen, wonder if he used his phone too. The Obama administration will take the next step in its multi-year effort to cut emissions and reduce oil use by getting better fuel economy from trucks. A small step,
yep.
but
and something
least,
he can do
right.
with a stroke of a pen.
Right. And we have discussed, obviously, the Keystone Pipeline, which I have to say, everything that I've read, so I'm not for it. I am not.
Nice.
I get why Ed Scholz is. I get, you know, that labor is for it. I get we could lose the Senate over it, but it is. We are in a climate emergency,
mm-hmm.
and anyway, so and you said just the other day, Jim, you said, why can't we have more solar, like magic kismet?
Solar,
right.
wind, geothermal.
We have the author of the new book, Creating Climate Wealth. He's like the solar energy guy in the country. And so anyway, and he has just some really great news, forward-thinking stuff.
And Germany's been doing it for a while.
Right.
Now, and it's not sunny there a lot, not
right.
according to Fox News. But,
right.
See,
there. That's designed to get, you know, Republicans' attention to wealth. Did someone say wealth?
Well,
can make
Whoa,
money.
I can make money off
that's
of it?
That's a horse of a different color.
All right. And, of course, Bob Seska.
Yes.
In the meantime. Oh, a love letter. Lots of love letters for Jim from Phoenix Sexy Liberal. Shannon and Brian from Carlsbad.
Mm.
Steph, since we are old childless losers who can't step past 9 o'clock, me too.
Yeah.
We didn't stay for the grope, but loved our tickets in row 2 at Phoenix Sexy Liberal this
wow.
past Saturday. While Jim's highlight was seeing Tom Brokaw in the Phoenix airport, our highlight was meeting Jim in the Phoenix airport
yes,
on our
right.
way back to Carlsbad, New Mexico.
Yeah.
Thanks for making our romantic anniversary weekend a great trip. Shannon and Brian.
Aww.
Carlsbad.
That's totes adorbs.
It is totes adorbs, right? Very, very exciting. All right, everybody getting geared up for the next one, including Stephanie, for Fort Lauderdale, March 1st. Third row left of center, Steph. Have you thought of asking Randy Rhoads to join us? Yes, but she is a giant hoa who will be out of town.
That's right.
Although she tweeted for me yesterday. Thank you, Randy.
Aww.
I love you. It is 10 after. Yeah, she sadly she has some sort of family thing with
whatever.
I don't know, the Howard in New York or something. How dare she?
See what happens when you get a family?
Call her today and say you are a hoa. All right. But as we know, Judy Tenuta and Jackie Schechter won't be joining us on panel. It's going to be a party still.
It doesn't matter if you're gay.
That's right.
Or straight
weekend.
Like Marcus Bachman.
Right.
Bachman.
Clang, clang, clang with the trolley.
You were born this way, baby.
Ding, ding, ding with a bell.
You are a sexy liberal.
Liberal. Sexy liberal. You are sexy. Sexy liberal.
March 1st, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It's Gay Pride Weekend, and the Sexy Liberal Gang will be performing along with special guests Jackie Schechner and Judy Tenuta at the Parker Playhouse. So strap on those party hats, kids.
Yay!
Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
You know, everybody's welcome.
Yeah, real cute.
Hey, don't I know you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're that barbarians need to be disciplined guy.
Oh, that corn dog of yours looks delicious.
Nom, nom, nom. Thank you, Audra in Minneapolis. All right, hurry. Those tickets going very fast for the very next Sex Liberal March 1st in Fort Lauderdale. What was I going to say?
I don't know.
Oh, my favorite comment on, you can go to Sexy Liberal Facebook or sexyliberal.com for ticket links to all the upcoming shows. My favorite comment, besides all the gym adoration, was, I want to have sex with John Fugelsang's hair.
Yeah. Ooh. That's a lot of hair.
His hair has gotten, wow.
It's gotten long.
Crazy long. It's
yeah.
Messy. It's exciting.
That's an image, though. A lot. Ooh.
Mm? What? I know. Yeah, well, listen, it'll be like the scene from There's Something About Mary. That's not hair gel. All right. What?
What?
Okay.
Gross.
So, as we know, the Sexy Liberal cause in Phoenix was Gabby Giffords Foundation. And what this gun stuff is just, I don't even know where to start with this latest doofus. Did you see this? Michael Dunn, the man who shot and killed the latest unarmed black teenager, told his fiancée in a telephone call a month after his arrest that he was both the victim and the victor in the deadly encounter. Oh, so that was a victory that there's another dead, innocent, unarmed teenager.
He was victimized by a subwoofer.
I mean, and
so he had to shoot the kid.
Right. And there's George Zimmerman on TV whining, I'm homeless and I have PTSD. And he still won't say that he feels bad.
Right.
That he did anything wrong. That Trayvon Martin is dead.
Like, he was black. Don't you get it? He had Skittles.
Like, yeah, he's like,
he was black with Skittles.
What else did he say? He's like, why am I getting so much attention? I just want, stop shooting innocent people and hitting your wife and speeding.
Yeah. God.
Why?
Just don't lay low for a while.
Leave me alone.
I'm the victim here.
And stop giving interviews to nationally televised news outlets.
Look, my life, it's been ruined.
Right. Right. Oh, here he is, Michael Dunn.
Victim here.
Oh.
I was the one who was victimized. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Like, they attacked me. I'm the victim.
What?
I'm the victor, but I was the victim, too.
What?
Oh, my God, that's the call with his girlfriend. Yep. And first of all, is that not supposed to be a damning thing? He never told his girlfriend that the kid had a gun.
Nope.
Isn't that interesting? Don't you think he might have mentioned that?
That would have been
He had a shotgun.
Relevant.
Kind of
he was playing music I didn't like, and it was really loud. So
didn't he say at one point, she doesn't understand self-defense. Oh, really? Oh, she doesn't understand. You're allowed to shoot into a car full of black kids. It's Florida.
She better learn about it soon.
Yeah.
She's with that guy.
Kind of had a little Marcus Bachman tone
to his
voice.
Yeah, there was something about him.
Maybe there's another light loafer to drop.
Grr, look what a big manly man I am. I shot a black kid. Grr.
I mean, this law, though, I was reading a whole analysis in Salon, Michael Dunn's Sick License to Kill. I mean, when you really understand Stand Your Ground legally, it's insane.
Yeah, it's completely insane.
I mean,
if you feel threatened.
There are so many causes to give to for Florida, Sexy Liberal. I'm not sure what to do first. And it's like, it just seems like every day there's a difference. Did you see this one? Arkansas man guns down 15-year-old girl for egging his son's car as a prank.
Yeah.
A black girl. This is the kind of...
Egging a car is the same as killing a kid? Really? That's equivalent?
An Arkansas man is facing first-degree murder charges after he allegedly shot a 15-year-old...
Allegedly?
they have to say that it's legalese to death over the weekend because she was participating in a prank against his 16-year-old son. The surviving teen victims reportedly told police they'd attempted to prank Willie Noble's son by covering his car in eggs and leaves. Apparently, Mr. Noble's teenage son had done a prank on some of the kids that were inside the vehicle on Halloween night. As a result, they were doing a retaliation prank, and it ultimately had deadly results. one of the teens said it was a joke. We were friends and we were going to come over there and clean it up.
God.
I mean,
idiots.
Yeah. Anyway, but I mean,
country of morons.
Yeah.
But this heavily armed morons.
Right, but this Michael Dunn case is just what it's. Of course, there are shades of Jordan Zimmerman, and you started this fight. What?
Uh-huh.
What you started an altercation, and now you're
the victim here.
Yeah.
I'm the victim and the victor.
I mean, seriously, I mean, that's just common sense, too, and logic. I mean, who goes and picks a fight with a car full of teenage guys on a Friday night?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, and now I feel threatened. Well, it's because you're a hole. You know? It's
yeah.
Like, the salon piece, Michael Dunn's sick license to kill. The failure to convict Michael Dunn for shooting Jordan Davis to death in the course of an argument over whether the 17-year-old and his friends were playing their car stereo too loudly. The other thing, doesn't it strike you, like, you're not a cop or his father.
Right.
Like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you don't like how loud the music is. It's like, well, I mean, and that's the other thing, is you go, could you please turn that down? If they say no, go get your beer or whatever the hell you're getting and go home. Get your Funyuns and your...
They're playing loud music I don't like. They have to die.
Illustrates that as a practical matter, hot-blooded murder is often perfectly legal under Florida law and that many other states as well. Criticisms of the juries fail to appreciate that the prosecution faced an almost impossible legal burden in this case, and only Dunn's decision to fire three more shots at a fleeing vehicle after he had already emptied seven of the bullets in the gun's clip when killing Davis kept him from escaping any punishment at all.
God.
I mean, that's the only difference in this and the Zimmerman trial, mm-hmm. I guess. That law works like this. If Dunn had a reasonable fear he was about to suffer great bodily harm, then he had a legal right to shoot Davis to death, rather than, for example, choosing to protect himself by driving away.
Driving away? You had a car, idiot.
Even if Dunn knew that driving away would have protected him from harm. This is an insane law.
Yep, the whole state is insane.
Yeah. Well, not you,
well,
Fort Lauderdale.
Not.
We don't mean particularly the people that have already bought.
And not Charlie Crist.
Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale is sexy and liberal.
Right.
The rest of the state, bam.
Right. If that sounds crazy, you haven't heard the half of it. Because the Stand Your Ground law creates an affirmative defense for criminal defendants, the prosecution had to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Dunn's claim he had a reasonable fear he was about to suffer great bodily harm was false. Such laws, in effect, put the victim rather than the killer on trial, which is exactly what happened in this case. And, you know, you only started to hear more about this poor kid last night. A handsome kid.
Yeah.
I mean, you just... You think this is just the thing I hate the most is that he even said, oh, well, you know, they could have thrown the gun away. It's like, oh, I get it. Your implication is they're just a bunch of lying black kids probably. Like, who's going to believe the other teenagers in the car that said, oy vey. Yeah, and because this is America, the fact that Dunn is white and the teenage boys are black boys playing loud thug music, to use Dunn's description, makes it seem reasonable to him the confrontation he started is about to escalate to the point where he will suffer great bodily harm.
Their music was thuggish. I had to kill them.
Right, I mean, it's turning cowards like him and George Zimmerman into these, like, you know, they think they're tough guys only because they have a gun. So, I mean, what reasonable person thinks, oh, I think I'll pick a fight with this car full of kids at a convenience store? He only did that because he knew he had a gun in his glove compartment. As a practical matter, Florida's law gives people like Dunn a license to kill anyone they're reasonably afraid of.
And it's insane.
I mean, like we said before, Jim, it's the kill your only witness law. Mm-hmm. So, oh, I thought I saw, it was a camera tripod. Oh, well. I mean, that was in the car. There was a camera tripod and, you know, whatever. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller.
An American girl.
Well, that was interesting. Normally, we're making inappropriate sexual references.
Yeah.
Telling fart jokes or looking at kitty videos.
Yes.
But Jim and I were having a very interesting discussion about the author of Creating Climate Wealth coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Jigger Shaw?
Yes. You need to turn your microphone on,
please.
In that it's a radio program. Hi, Jim. What?
I'm still not used to this. I'm used to the microphone going on by itself.
Chris, why do you make him work so hard? What's the matter with you?
Jim, at the old place, you always turned your own mic on.
He has an Emmy. Just shut up and turn on his microphone. Okay.
By magic. Use your mental telepathy to turn on the
You see, we just tried to drag Natan, our new free speech TV director, in our years of dysfunction.
He wasn't having any of it.
No, he was being diplomatic.
Whatever.
Okay. That's not going to fly around here for long, Natan. anyway, but no, we were saying that that is the key, is when you, but you know, people know they can make money at it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's because we were saying, we're tired of hearing this, oh, well, we're not going to get off oil. And he said, well, how about we try?
I mean, they were talking about this in the 70s. Yeah. I remember a cartoon in the LA Times where they were talking about, oh, well, oh, that's impractical. That's impractical. Because we own that. We own oil. We own coal. But how about solar? Well, we own the, not practical.
Wait a minute. And you said it's working in Germany where there's not that much sun.
Yeah.
Weird. What does Marsha Blackburn think about that?
Yeah.
There's not enough sun.
No. According to Fox News, it's sunny there all the time. Okay, where are the deserts in Germany? Show me on a map where the deserts are.
Right.
Although we have posited before that Brian Kilmeade is probably frequently startled by bright things like the sun.
What's that? What is that?
I think he's startled. I think Mrs. Kilmeade has to explain every morning to him why the sun came up again.
Oh, there it is again.
Okay, honey, it's the sun. Came up yesterday, too.
It went away last night. Now it's back.
Mm-hmm. Poor Brian.
I can only imagine what a trip to the beach is like. Look, the water went out. Oh.
Is it going to come back?
Yes, it's coming back. Okay. Oh, look, there it is again.
Oh, it's the water.
Okay. Oh, the oldies. Bringing back the Kilmeade sketch. All right. Speaking of creating new technology to fill a demand. See how I did that? Oh, my God. Sometimes my own queen of Segwaydom, it makes me shiver. ProgressiveVoices.com, right? Because of right-wing companies stamping out progressive radio in city after city. I'm getting tons of these. Sherry in Shelton, Washington. Morning, Steph and the Mooks. Being as I live in the Puget Sound area and no longer get Progressive Radio on my regular radio, I now listen to you online through ProgressiveVoices.com. See? There is an app for that.
Yep.
You and the other progressive talkers keep me sane. Love the show in Seattle. Oh, Seattle, sexy liberal. Back in December, took my 74-year-old mom and her 60-something friend, all left very satisfied and impressed. Hmm. Well, that's because, Jim Ward always leaves the chicks satisfied and impressed. Ask all the realtors at the realtor convention in Phoenix. I don't know what was happening. I'm like, all right, I'm going to bed. I don't know what's going on in the bar. Matt, Matt in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Matt.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
You three are the most important three people on radio. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We just need Randy to know what time it is, but other than that.
Honorary force.
What's that?
Because he fills in for you. So here's the thing. I used to live down in Boca Raton, Florida for about 6 years. And there's a lady who's on the radio. I don't know if you're familiar. Her name is Joyce Kaufman. And she walks around saying that she's a gun-toting, free-thinking radio personality who's not afraid to blow somebody away, who comes up behind her and whatever. And
awesome.
They egg each other on down there. It's not just it's one guy decided to shoot someone. It's literally like half the population down there or more all have guns.
Yeah.
And they all sit there and they all listen to these crazy people who talk on the radio saying, you know what? I want you to go out and buy your gun and somebody who tries to talk to you.
Yeah, I mean, it is the law itself is just legally and morally reprehensible. It's insane.
Of course, Boca Raton does mean mouth of the rat. So.
All right, the author of Creating Climate Wealth, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, I'm not in any position to judge. I once did a guy for a tank of gas.
See, we have got to get off oil, Jim. See what it makes us do? 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
What are you willing to do for a premium?
Oh, God.
I can't afford that. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. The president yesterday.
A changing climate means that weather-related disasters like droughts, wildfires, storms, floods are potentially going to be costlier and they're going to be harsher.
So with a stroke of a pen, the Obama administration will take the next step, as we said, in the multi-year effort to cut emissions and reduce oil use by getting better fuel economy from trucks. And we've been talking, obviously, about the Keystone Pipeline. On cue the other day, Jim Ward, brilliance that he is, said, why aren't we doing more with solar? Why can't we? Why do we have to just go, oh, well, we're not going to get enough oil, so we better blah, blah, blah. Well, magically, I saw a book, Creating Climate Wealth, Unlocking the Impact Economy, a new book by Jigar Shah, founder of the largest solar services company in the country, SunEdison. He's internationally recognized for revolutionizing the now multi-billion dollar solar energy industry. Very exciting. Jigar, good morning. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
This is, I mean, what a great time. I mean, between... You must look at what the president did yesterday, and it's just, it's such a small step but I mean, it seems like sometimes politically, it's the best we can hope for, and here you are really revolutionizing an industry that could be one of the answers to all of this, right?
Well, you know, the solar industry has done really, really well, but we're the Rodney Dangerfield of energy. We just can't get respect.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that the truth? But I thought, I was just saying before the break here, that it's interesting. You speak the language that I think people on both sides of the aisle can hear, because Republicans go, oh, wait a minute, you can make money? I mean, that's how we're going to get off oil, right?
Well, that and all of the AARP members that we keep turning out in Georgia and Arizona and other places, because they're switching to solar not because it saves them money, but it locks in their electricity prices at today's prices. And if you're on a fixed income and Social Security is not going up at 4 or 5% a year, you can't afford to have your utility bills going up 5% a year.
Well, you said something really interesting. I was reading some of your book. You said, first and foremost, we need a plan. All of the above is not a plan. It's a recipe for confusion. Explain
well,
what you
right.
mean by
as,
that.
As long as, I mean, all the above is great energy policy, as long because it's the underground stuff that causes all the trouble.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, it's the oil and the gas, et cetera, right?
Oh.
If he's talking about all the above, meaning everything above right. the ground, I'm good with it, but I don't think that's what he's talking about.
Right. What you said, America cannot resist this transition. We must lead it. And I think that that is really true. And we have another international conference coming up. And I think you're right. If we don't lead, who will? Right.
Yeah. The thing is that right now, all of those international conferences are talking about who pays. And we need to shift the conversation to who invests. We actually have invested $40 to $50 billion a year in wind, solar, geothermal, biomass, et cetera. And all those countries around the world desperately want access to our technology and our dollars to invest in their economies. But we're not having that conversation. We're having the conversation of around, well, you know, who gets reparations for having had the industrial age in the 1800s and 1900s who got us here. We just need to flip the conversation to who invests.
Well, and certainly, like I say, someone like you, and I know that, you know, you've worked with people that are doing the same thing. Tom Steyer, you worked with an advanced energy economy. There are people making a lot of money in well, I guess is what you would call it, green business, but are making a lot of money is the operative thing. This isn't, and that's sort of the point of your book. It's not just to be a do-gooder, right?
Well, that's right, and it's democratic. I mean, the thing is, when you think about the solar industry last year, we did $100 billion of business. That's more than new coal, more than new gas, more than new nuclear last year, right? Biggest
yeah.
power generation asset in the world last year in terms of new construction. The average size of our projects, $250,000. That means that we had a million salespeople basically going around knocking on doors saying, do you want to put solar on your roof, et cetera. So no one made $50 million last year. Everyone made $250,000 for their family. And so we have this distributed democratic sort of, you know, local energy movement, which just scares the crap out of everybody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you look at just the headlines in the last week, you know, miners trapped underground, this rail and yet another rail accident that spilled all this oil. We've got the fight over the pipeline going, which, you know, certainly, well, I mean, I'd like to get your take on the Keystone Pipeline. I think I can imagine your answer.
Well, look, I mean, I think the Keystone Pipeline is important because it's galvanized the environmental movement to finally grow a pair.
There you go.
Very good.
You know, but it's, but look, you, I think you and I both know that, like, shipping oil by truck from North Dakota to Cushing is not a more environmentally friendly solution.
Right.
And so it's probably, you know, from a climate change perspective, it's neither here nor there. But I'm so sick and tired of every environmental leader wanting a job so desperately in the administration that they treat this guy with kid gloves. And if this guy's name was George Bush and did exactly the same things, they would have treated him much different.
Well, that's what I love about your book is it's sort of a, you know, it's a whole new way of thinking about all this. As you say, that if we could really, you know, do what you've done, say, in the solar industry, we don't have to have these fights. We don't, you know, we don't have to have a fight about a pipeline at all, right?
Well, it's the largest wealth creation opportunity on the planet. And I think there's a lot of folks who believe in solar. They get it. You know, you can do no money down solar. You just call somebody like Solar City or Sunrun. You tell them to put it on the roof. And then you just pay 90% of what you would have paid your utility. So you save 10% on day one. But what people don't get is that you can use this exact same model that we've created for local food. So I've invested in a company called Bright Farms, where there's a grocery store chain that pays 30 cents per unit to buy lettuce and tomatoes from California and 70 cents per unit to transport it. So now we're growing it locally right next to them, 60 cents per unit to grow it, 10 cents to ship it, so it's 30 cents cheaper. And
see,
it
and that's
doesn't
the key.
Spoil in your fridge.
Right, and we talk all the time about, you know, you talk about health care and obesity in this country, and we have this discussion all the time. Oh, well, good food is too expensive. So, but you're absolutely right. There are solutions to all of this that you know, as you say, can also be profitable. I want to read one line so you can explain to people. I think it's so important. The reason for this book you write is to make the case that the solar industry has become a $100 billion industry because it was designed and structured by entrepreneurs that use mainstream investors, not impact investors. Explain what that means and what the difference is.
Well, so the challenge in general with this movement is there's always some greater fool who basically is willing to give you $2 million of investment at 3% interest because you're helping low-income housing or because you're trying to build the first title system, et cetera.
So, because it's a good cause they believe in, right?
Because right, and the problem with that is that when you go to a normal bank after you've done that deal, they have no respect for that first investor. So you now are starting from square one, whereas I got my money from Goldman Sachs from day one, and, you know, we can argue about whether they're a great company or not, but as soon as I told other investors I got money from Goldman, the money started pouring in because they realized that Goldman does its homework, and if they invested, they probably checked me out.
Right.
And so where my competitors got their money from San Diego football San Diego Chargers football players.
Right.
The gosh darn truth. And they went out of business after that because they were like, I mean, whenever they went to a mainstream capital provider, they were like, we have no respect for the process you went through.
Right. Well, right. I mean, right. I mean, I guess what you're saying is, you know, it's an attainable story, one that we can repeat again and again, not only to build more than one multi-billion-dollar industry, but rather to build many multi-billion-dollar industries. If the International Energy Agency is right, it will add up to a new $10 trillion economy while solving our global climate and environmental issues.
Yeah,
that's exactly what you mean by creating climate wealth, right?
That's right. And it's the only thing that can solve income inequality. I mean, the thing about the president's income inequality speech is that what he's not recognizing is that under the Clinton administration, people spent $7,000 a year less per year for gasoline, for diesel, for natural gas, for electricity. There are middle-income families in this country who haven't gotten a pay increase since 1999, and they're paying $7,000 more a year for energy.
Right. Right, yeah. Well, right. I mean, I think you say it best, this is not a partisan issue, this is an economic issue.
Oh, I think that's exactly right. But the thing is that it requires leadership, right? I mean, if we're the Rodney Dangerfield of energy and we're not getting respect, the president talking about pounding solar panels under the roof doesn't provide the right image.
Right.
Right. I mean, I think what we need to figure out is how the president actually takes his Obama for America team and says, look, how do we actually make these precinct captains informed and go to their local county commissioners, mayors, et cetera, and educate them about what they can do to save energy right now using technologies that we invented 20 years ago. That's the kind of respect that we need.
Yeah, and well, I mean, I think as a liberal, Jigar, I think what I love about the whole thing is, like you say, it's, well, I mean, you mentioned the Clinton years, but I think that there was that feeling of, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. that you can we can do something that's good for the climate and the environment and still and create jobs, right, and all of that. I mean, I think that you're right. We've been having sort of the wrong discussion in a way.
Well, yeah, you know, Marsha Blackburn and Bill Nye, the science guy, were on Meet the Press.
I know.
Monday.
We've been talking about it endlessly. Your head must have exploded.
Oh, my God. Well, the thing that's so shocking to me is that when Bill Nye talks and other people talk, look, Bill Nye's awesome, and I love him, you know, in terms of what he's done. But every single person on our side of this argument always acknowledges, for what reason, I have no idea, that what we're doing is going to be a sacrifice. And it's not going to be a sacrifice. We're actually creating more jobs. We created 24,000 jobs last year, which is just about the same amount of jobs that the fracking industry created last year.
Right. Right.
Just to be clear, right? And so we're creating more jobs. We're investing real capital. We invested $15 billion in new solar deployment in the U.S. last year. We can have our cake and eat it, too. And I don't want Bill Nye or, you know, or Meet the Press or whatever saying that we actually have to choose one side or the other.
Well, I mean, and as you know, that was over all the Sunday shows because of the extreme weather. And you're absolutely right. You cannot put what is established science in the realm of let's debate this. And there must be two sides to this issue. You know, there are not two sides to climate change. And it's, you know, as you say, and Bill Nye is a great guy. Even he's not a climate scientist. You know, and I love that Marsha Blackburn had to point out that she's not either, because I wouldn't have sussed that out on my own. But I mean,
but the thing is, like, just take Marsha Blackburn for a second. So the Tennessee Valley Authority is, you know, one of the largest utilities in the United States, owned basically by the federal government, and they just did an energy plan for the next 5 years. They had a comment period because they're, you know, sort of owned by the people. And the number one issue that was commented on in their strategic plan was, why aren't you doing more renewable energy?
Right.
Number one.
Yeah.
From the people in her district, you know, so I don't see, the thing is, I don't think she's anti-renewable energy. I don't think she's anti-clean energy solutions. I think her challenge is that she can't fathom that our stuff is actually cheaper than the stuff that she grew up on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, but I have to say, you know, you're obviously such a pioneer, but I've looking at your whole resume. I mean, you worked with Richard Branson, ZD of Carbon War Room. I mentioned Tom Steyer. He's in the New York Times this morning. He was just in the LA Times as, you know, the liberal Koch brother. But you know, it's exactly what you all are talking about, that we can create wealth, we can have clean energy, we can help the climate. They are not mutually exclusive, right?
Well, that's right, but I do think that what we've done in this no money down, pay as you save model that we've invented for solar, which is now going into local food production, battery storage, electric vehicles, et cetera, is a game changer. And it's important for us to understand that it's actually a game changer at an equal level. And I say this again, an equal level to fracking. That's how important what we've accomplished is on financial innovation. Think about cities and towns. We're paying 350% more for their fuel bill to fuel their police cars and fire trucks, et cetera. That money has come from cutting essential programs in other parts of their budget.
Yep. Well,
we now have the ability to switch them to fuels that are $1.25 to $1.30 a gallon, but they don't actually understand how to use these financial models to actually move to that future.
I'm telling you, you are the future, my friend. We got to stop having these discussions like, oh, well, we got to put up with fracking and pipelines because we just, you know, it's the only way to, you know, to have jobs and yada, yada. And I really encourage people. The book is Creating Climate Wealth. Jigar Shah is the founder of Sun Edison. And what a pleasure. Thank you so much. And by the way, tell all the other liberal billionaires, you know, that there's a lot of good causes I can think of. And I'll call you later about that.
Thanks.
Thanks so much, Jigar. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon. All right. Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
What? You can make money from it?
It's interesting because we've been having this whole Keystone argument, that's the kind of stuff that we need. Anyway, all right. 49 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. I don't care. I love it. I love it. I don't care. I love it.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 54 minutes.
All right, you don't care, but you love it. What is it exactly?
It's both.
Jim, do you ever feel like someone is watching you? Do you ever feel like someone is right behind you watching Free Move? Hi, Ben from Free Speech TV.
Hi, Ben.
He's in from Denver, City by the Bay.
That's right.
Awesome. Awesome.
We love you, Denver. City by the Bay.
Okay. Eddie in Georgia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Eddie.
Hello. How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
Listen, this stuff in Florida is so crazy. I mean, the only thing we can really do is maybe stop the tourism. I know that's bad for businesses and things like that, but to get to these people, you have to hurt them in their pocketbooks.
Hey,
I mean, unless
I'm
they
not
want
a,
it to be the OK Corral where we all carry six shooters.
I hear you. I'm not a big fan of boycotts, nor are you, being in the radio business. Thanks a boatload, Rush, for everything.
Exactly.
yeah, that's why we were saying, ironically, Rush Limbaugh has hurt the radio industry more than anybody because of all his slut stuff. A lot of advertisers left radio in general,
yep.
You know, and I just, you know, there's a lot of good people in Florida. I know a lot of them. It's just it's a tough, you know, I'm not sure how you get these kind of laws like Stand Your Ground change because it's just they are insane. But I don't know if that's the way.
Hmm.
Let's go to Larry in California who says solar is hooey. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Mama. I'm not saying solar's hooey. I'm saying that, you know, the rosy picture that they're painting that we can all have solar. I live in the desert of California, and my coworker just built a new house and checked into this thing where you have them put solar cells on your roof and you get a fixed, fixed bill. But they only promised them a fixed bill for 5 to 7 years, and then they could raise it. So then we looked at putting solar on the house, just, you know, having a solar company come in and put, you know, solar cells on where we did it ourselves. And they're marking up solar cells, every company we checked into, at least 400%. That gentleman you had on said that this industry's been around for 20 years. Why, with a business that's been around for 20 years, are we allowing companies still to get away with marking up solar cells 400% to the end user?
Well,
it's a business.
Well, you know, I mean, right. But the thing is, you talk about this is like reminds me of the Affordable Care debate about the insurance companies are raising my rate. They've always raised your premiums.
Yep.
They're
mm-hmm.
I guess my point. I don't know where I lost my train of thought there. See, that's why we shouldn't ship anything by rail, including thoughts.
Exactly.
And was your train run on steam or liquid?
But solar panels might cost a little more at the beginning,
right. My point,
but you make up for it on the back end with all the savings.
Right. My point, I'm sorry. I did my thoughts back.
Okay.
It's thought of it back by everybody. If you've seen my latest DWP bill, it's like, okay.
Department of Water and Power.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, I can't speak to that. Like, I don't know what degree, what company did this. I mean, I can't speak for every player in the solar industry, but I mean.
Yeah, do your due diligence. Do your research of different companies that
you
might want to hire.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know how much, seriously, my electricity bill has gone up year in year. I mean, anyway. Tim in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
Yeah, I want to kind of follow up on that gentleman's discussion about solar. And one thing that hasn't entered into this conversation is rare earth elements. The reason the solar costs so much is because it's all being manufactured in China and will continue to be manufactured in China, as well as wind generators, because the Chinese control the rare earth element market because mm-hmm. we've got no solution to the thorium issue in this country. Rare earth elements and thorium are found together, and
yep.
every electronic device, whether it's your iPad, your iPhone, solar panels.
Yep, no, I you are correct about that part, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't, as a nation, really get the book, Creating Climate Wealth. I urge you to read it. 58 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce, much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Oh, dear. We may have given Than from Free Speech TV an overload.
Uh-oh.
The special Stephanie Miller Show chemistry. Where you called me Harry, and I shouted expletives at you during the commercial
break. Was just wondering if you used no-no on your nipples.
You! Hole. Okay.
We have a clip.
No, you know Jim tweezes for me. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The hilarious Charlie Pierce. I know I say it every time.
Yeah.
But this time might be the best column ever. Hilarious.
Really?
Hilarious.
Wow.
Charlie Pierce at the, right at the bottom of the hour. And then Bob Seska of the Daily Banter, whom we also love, next hour.
And all you want to date and kiss and marry.
Yes, I would like some love muse. Oh, speaking of which, guess who would like to date and kiss and marry all of us? Kelly and Bob, your official middle-aged married airline pilots from Reno.
Wow.
Who were at Phoenix Sexy Liberal with all of us. Great Phoenix show. Steph and the Mooks, thanks for the great time in Phoenix. We are fortunate enough to have front row center seats for the occasion and laughed ourselves nearly to death.
Oh.
Oh, well. It was wonderful to see you on the road again. Keep spreading the word through facts and humor. That's Kelly and Bob. They're married. They're airline pilots, and they're from Reno.
Cool. So they always fly in the same plane together?
Right. Whatever happens with them in Reno.
Lock the door, put on the autopilot, and get busy.
I love them. You know why, Chris?
Why?
Because they've been very quiet about the time they saw me shoot that guy in Reno.
Just to watch him die?
Just to watch him die.
Well, yeah. There is a restraining order.
Well, Johnny Cash stole your act.
Right. Oh, wait. It's another love letter. Hang on. Dear future wife, Steph, and the Mook persons, just got the announcement that the Sexy Liberal Tour coming to the Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale on the day I'm going to Baja for a whale-watching tour.
Oh, nice. Please.
Heavy world-weary stuff. Like, the whales are going anywhere, Ken. You could go another weekend. Well, I'll always have the memory of the first show when I finally met my future wife in person. That's me. And got the warmest, most wonderful hug from her. That's me. I remember what I said to the woman of my dreams with all the sensitive, articulate, and incisive clarity that a university professor could muster for that special moment. Flern.
Flern.
Did you spell out Flern?
Yes, F-L-R-N.
Flern.
I know you guys can understand, as I for the life of me can't understand why anyone would be nervous to meet me. Look at me. Anyone that listens to the show for a minute knows I'm a hot mess. No matter, I won't see you this time. But my memories of finally seeing my in person my heroes and heroine, of laughing so hard I wet myself repeatedly, are indelible. Love always, Ken the Enchanter, the official amateur paleontologist, music critic, Wiccan, spanking fetishist, wine snob of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah. He's called
that, in. That's a trademark, yeah. P.S. Love the show on Free Speech TV. Thank the Mother Goddess for DirecTV. You are still the most stunningly beautiful woman in the talk radio universe. Not really saying much, but thank you, Ken.
Yeah, there's a reason why she does no-no commercials. What? What'd I say?
See, I've just contributed to global mourning with the heat morning of 1,000 white hot suns that I hate you with. I've just made it warmer, Jim.
I could probably use it, too.
Speaking of warm, guess where we're going March 1st?
Warning, this promo contains material not suitable for stick-up-the-butt conservatives.
Just in time to kick off Spring Break 2014. The hottest, craziest, most off-the-hook progressive head-turners are hitting South Florida. It's Sexy Liberals Gone Wild, Fort Lauderdale.
So hot.
Oh, it's too hot.
On March 1st, the official start of Spring Break 2014.
Springtime for Stephanie Miller.
The world-famous Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour will perform live at the Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Join John Fugelsang, Carlos Alazraki, and the pride of progressive media, Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available at ParkerPlayhouse.com or by calling 954-462-0222. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, March 1st, at the Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale. Get your tickets now. Go to ParkerPlayhouse.com.
Woohoo! All right. By the way, despite the fact that you were such a stick, I just want to say, I love both of you, and Mama was so proud of everybody at Phoenix Sexy Liberal. Chris and Jim and Carlos and John and Roland, the whole gang. We had such a great time, and the fans are awesome.
Yes,
with awesome
are.
Sauce. All right, so lots to get to. Charlie Pierce coming up. Lots of folks want to talk about the solar situation. Brandon in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, Steph. Love you. Love your show.
Thank you.
I own the a solar energy company in Chicago. We're actually installing solar, shoveling snow right now, 48 panels.
Wow.
On a home in Barrington. I want to comment on a couple of the callers. Most of our panels are American-made. We're very proud of that.
Good.
Our markup is only 30%. And for the fellow who said it costs too much, the panels cost too much, it's not about cost. It's about saving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why rent your energy when you can own it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sun is going to be there all the time. There's no delivery charge. It's nature's gift. You have a roof. Why not put it to work for you?
Brandon, you know that I do not suffer naysayers very well. And this is what I you know, this is why I had, we had Jigar Shah on who wrote that book. People like you, I mean, we have to have like forward thinking people where we can't just keep repeating the same mantras. Like, oh, we're not going to get off oil anytime soon. So we got to blah, blah. Well, we're not ever going to if you keep, you know, if we keep having people just whining and complaining, you know, like you say.
There's too many people getting rich off the status quo. And
right.
They don't want anything new.
Yeah, exactly.
It's inevitable, and it's solar's not going away. It's putting a lot of people to work. These jobs cannot be outsourced. It's happening.
Right. Yep. I mean, that's what I was saying about, you know, Bill Clinton talking about rising tide lifts all boats. I refuse to believe in the Republican mantra that only, you know, that very few can get rich and everyone else has to suck it.
Sure.
I'm not sure they put it that way, but that's
no.
what they mean.
Okay. Right.
Just saying, I think we can do both. We can have a clean, you know, we can do something about climate change, and we can create jobs. Let's go to Todd in Wisconsin. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Steph. I'm a first-time caller. Basically, I just wanted to say the ones that are against us are basically the right-wingers who just do not understand economics. You know, first and foremost, you can't build a business by cutting anything. And that goes along with your home life. You can't make money by cutting back. And then as far as solar panels go, it's basically about rate of return.
Right. Well, Todd, you made a really good point there, and I think that's important. That you exactly, when the Republicans want to talk about how you run your household, that's exactly right. You don't just cut expenses in a household. A lot of you go, oh, how do we got to make more money. Mm-hmm. We got to do, you know, I mean, it's both, right?
Yeah. And, you know, when you spend that extra little bit of money, I mean, if you're building a new house, it just makes sense to go to solar.
Right.
You know, because the cost is never going to go up after you put that in.
Yeah, that's
right. But oil, it's going to constantly go up.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a national security issue. Secretary of State John Kerry yesterday.
In a sense, climate change can now be considered another weapon of mass destruction, perhaps even the world's most fearsome weapon of mass destruction.
He and the president.
The president and I, Obama and I, believe very deeply that we do not have time for a meeting anywhere of the Flat Earth Society.
And now on behalf of the Flat Earth Society, yeah. Marsha Blackburn, everybody.
Well, I think the president should realize Congress has taken action. Whether it was cap and trade or Boiler Act or any of these regulations, we have said no to that.
Yeah, you've taken action. You've said no to everything. You think that's action? Yeah.
Computer says no.
Yeah, he said no.
Bless her heart.
No, we don't want any action.
No. By the way, E.J. Dionne in the New York Post, it's all of a theme today, how you can do good, do the right thing, and have it be good for the country as well. And he talks about raising the minimum wage. It's the right idea for the right. He said there's a magnificent public policy that achieves many of the goals conservative politicians regularly extol. These include promoting work over dependency, reducing the cost of social welfare programs, fostering economic growth, and strengthening families. The policy in question is raising the minimum wage. The only mystery is why so few conservative politicians see the issue this way. Anyway, and then he points out one, Ron Unz, a Silicon Valley millionaire and one-time Republican candidate for governor out here in California, is championing the initiative to raise his state's minimum wage to $12 an hour. Oh, eek, clutch the pearls. He has argued that a minimum wage hike would function as a massive stimulus package. He said if the national minimum were increased to $12, probably between $150 and $175 billion a year would go into the pockets of lower-wage families that spend every dollar they earn. It would cause
economics.
A tremendous boost in economic demand. Mm-hmm. One of the strange things in our society right now, he said, is that we still have these low-wage workers who are getting $7.50, $8, or $9 an hour, And because they earn such small wages, the government subsidizes them with billions or tens of billions of dollars of social welfare spending that comes from the taxpayer. It's a classic example of businesses privatizing the benefits of their workers while socializing the costs. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I had not heard it put that way. Do it. Raise the minimum wage. Do it.
Do it.
Do it. Do it. Take it. Okay. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I was not aware that this is a jazzy fizzle.
It is indeed a jazzy fizzle. Oh, for shizzle, Jim. Thanks for asking. Thanks for bringing it up. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. Sup over there, Chris.
Hi there. Word.
I just like to irritate you. Uh-huh. Hi, Mike in Kansas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Mike in Kansas City.
Well, hi. I'm one of those crazy Prius-driving, recycling, solar-installing maniacs. I put
okay.
22 panels up on my roof. They were all made in Arizona.
Great.
Installed by a local guy. I'm going to save about half on my electric bill. That's the estimate. And I just want to say, the reason I'm doing this is because I care about Mama Earth, my four-legged little fuzzy feet creatures, and my grandkids, and I want to get wean myself off the teat of the fossil fuel industry.
Yes.
Aw, yay for you.
But like Jigger Shaw said last hour, that's not the only reason that you can sell people on getting solar.
Right.
You have to give them an economic incentive.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know.
Creating climate wealth. This
exactly.
Is get it. Do it. Okay. Catherine in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Catherine.
I'm from Fitzwalker Stan.
Oh, you're from Scott Walker Stan. Yes.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. It's okay. Mama's coming in March. I got it. I got it.
Oh, yeah, but activists can't afford the tickets. Even
oh, precious. Pumpkin. It's sold out anyway. All right. We'll just go for a beer at what's the place? By the
in the corner of the Thai restaurant.
Right, there you go. I'll meet you there. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, actually, they give you guys the seats and tell us we can't have them when biggies are in. But anyway, I want to pull some points together about the background of how all this happens. You know, every once in a while I go from Alec Exposed into the enemy territory of Alec's website.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They change things a lot and put a lot of spin on it. But last year, on their agenda for 2014, was going into every state, finding where the rare earth minerals were and controlling them.
Yep.
And then painting individuals as unpatriotic who use solar.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when it comes to the cost, if our wages had kept up with productivity inflation and not been artificially held down, we'd be able to afford it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got to tell you, Catherine, this is why we wanted to have Jigger Shaw on, because he's one of these guys. I don't know if you've seen anything. You know, there happened to be a piece in the L.A. Times about Tom Steyer, and they literally said the liberal Koch brother. And he's putting millions of dollars into, you know, green stuff and into Democratic politics. And, you know, we can fight back. We don't just have to lay down for the Koch brothers, you know. I think it's so important. Let's go to Roman in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Roman.
Hey, Steph. How you doing? Good morning.
Good. Hi.
I think, you know, Germany has a really good solar model. The government invested, gave low interest rate loans so everybody can afford them. You know, we should do something of the same, is the government should get on board, give low interest rates to people that live paycheck to paycheck, that don't have the disposable income to make a loan.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's what... Right, I think that's what Jigger was talking about, that the government has to be part of this because of, you know...
Absolutely, absolutely. And then, you know, they got money to subsidize nuclear power stations.
Right.
They should have money to subsidize solar panels.
Right,
and,
I mean...
You know,
we've said over and over again, what's got to stop now is subsidizing oil companies.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think we're never going to get off of it? Why would an oil company need a subsidy? They make billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mike in West Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning. I haven't heard anybody really make this point. I mean, it goes back to hydraulic fracturing, fracking, as well as digging this huge pipe. Nobody's talked about the geological impact, about how that's going to affect. I mean, you see these mini earthquakes,
exactly.
And things falling into the... Mm-hmm.
In
the
Ohio.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's insane. And I mean, I'm talking to you from a state where Earl Ray Tomlin and his loose band of opportunists in West Virginia are talking about increasing the load for local places to store fracking fluid.
Ugh, yeah. God. Well, I mean, you know,
is we have cars.
Mike, you don't need to be a scientist like Marsha Blackburn to kind of go, I don't remember there being.
That's going
to
drop right into our rivers and right into our aquifers and kill everything.
Yeah, right. I mean,
if your sink catches fire, there's something wrong.
Right. Yes. You don't need to be a scientist and go, I don't feel like my tap water should be on fire. I don't remember there being earthquakes in Ohio.
And we're having a huge drought out here.
Right, I don't remember California looking like Death Valley.
We can't afford to poison what groundwater we have.
Right.
And the aquifers.
Yeah.
And
I don't remember the entire East Coast looking like the Antarctic the entire winter.
And there are schools in West Virginia that are once again reporting water that smells like licorice,
which is
how that chemical smells.
Just look in recent years, Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Sandy. You're like, do you remember this much extreme weather? I mean, you can't tell me there's not just some common sense in that.
I mean, some jerk tells you it's safe to drink the water when coal sludge has been pouring into it for weeks. You know.
Yeah, you do a test first. You drink it first.
You drink it.
Yeah.
See how long it stays down.
Yeah, let's get Mikey to try it. Steve in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
It seems that the gentleman before me kind of stole the thunder that he wants America to do it. Well, like everything else in America, we're half-assed backwards, and England has already started to do that. If you're on public assistance there, I don't know what they call it there.
The dough.
But they put panels on the houses that they give to these people.
Well, hey, guess what? They also got to universal health care and gay marriage way before we did.
Absolutely. I have a customer from England who's an English citizen, and she cannot believe that we're still debating climate change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It blows her mind.
Even the conservatives in Britain know that it's a foregone conclusion that climate change exists.
Yeah. What does Marsha Blackburn think?
What does Marsha Blackburn think?
No, that's
right. She put a comma
there.
It's
a trick question.
Right.
Okay. 29 minutes after the arrow hour, the high hilarious Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Sitting there with her curly ebony locks and those pouted come-hither lips. My God, she's unappealing.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. I say it, and then I have to top myself again. Funniest Charlie Pierce ever.
I think so.
Ever. Esquire.com. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America, Pierce. Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Charlie Pierce, it is to laugh. I laugh. I guffawed. I horse laughed out loud. And
I'm having so much sunshine blown up my butt, I think my colon is getting a tan.
That's because I believe in solar energy. Oh, I'm blowing sunshine up there.
I saw what you did that. Is there really a major entrepreneur named Jigger? Because that's very cool.
Yes, it is.
Jigger Shaw.
Yes. Creating climate wealth. We of course been talking and having our heads collectively explode over the... It was the first time I was pre-annoyed at Meet the Press when I heard that... There was going to be a climate change debate with Marsha Blackburn, but I have to read this again for all the kids.
Oh, okay.
All the kids, the kittens that have not read Charlie Pierce. Centuries from now,
my kidneys are glowing now.
Okay.
I may well have a basal cell problem.
All right, everybody, gentle down. Centuries from now, when the several remaining humans are huddled around a dwindling fire and pondering how each of them will kill the others and eat their still warm flesh, the most boring among the remnant will pose the question, who's to blame for all this? Someone will mention the Koch brothers. Someone else will bring up BP. Maybe our old friend Keystone Pipeline will get a moan out while the silent one in the corner sizes up available rocks and studies the heads of his companions. If I'm not around, I hope at least one of them will summon up his last remaining breath and say, the noodle brain bag of useless fresh named David Gregory. Charlie Pierce for the win. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where you go with. The other parts of the column or that particular blog post. You had two shows had Pat McCrory on. Didn't ask him about the coal ash spill in North Carolina, which
yeah.
I felt
right.
Was
yeah.
And then you had Chuck Todd saying maybe we should table the debate and do all this stuff anyway. Like, you know, we're gonna appropriate billions of dollars for new seawalls, but we're not gonna tell you why we're doing it.
Yeah.
Because you'll just argue about it.
Yeah.
Where do these people live?
Yeah.
What do they think we're dealing with? You've got Marcia right. Blackburn on there with her Bachelor of Science in Home Economics from Mississippi State talking to Bill Nye, who's a mechanical engineer.
Right.
How about we get an actual climate scientist on
Thank
there?
You.
Michael Eric Dyson would have been awesome.
Well, he's not qualified either. But get somebody who actually studies this stuff.
Right. This
was about having a debate without engaging the actual issue.
Well, that's just the laughable extent that this both sides do it, and there's a blah, blah, blah kind of journalism that we have, and there's a debate about everything, and it's all political.
We all thought Krugman was exaggerating when he put together that thing about how experts divided on shape of world, remember?
Yes.
That if they were around in Columbus's time,
yeah.
You know, they'd find somebody who said the world was round and somebody who said the world was flat, and then say the experts divided on shape of world. But that's what you've got here.
Right, exactly.
You can trust me. I'm wearing a white lab coat.
You've got two people, one of whom is marginally qualified and one who isn't qualified at all,
yeah.
Essentially debating whether or not we should have a debate.
Yeah, and you said it best. You say, let us stipulate from the outset, there is no debate about climate change. None. It is occurring. Humans are exacerbating it at an unacceptable rate, and if something isn't done, beachfront property in Indianapolis one day is going to be at a premium. And you say neither political party has shown itself overly willing to confront this reality, but only one of them mocks the science and slanders the scientists. And there she is, Marcia Blackburn, right? And I love this. You said, who reminded us she wasn't a climate scientist, as if we couldn't have figured that out by ourselves.
I thought it was very nice of her to do that.
That was helpful. She seemed most concerned about the fact that science is hard. yeah.
Let me say from the outset, I'm an idiot.
Oh, my God. And I'm reading. This is the kind of thing that makes my head explode weekly. But you quote David Gregory. All right, we're going to leave it there. The debate goes on. No. No. No.
The debate goes on.
No.
The debate goes on.
Oh, my God. And I was with
and
you.
And then the hell of it all was, they didn't leave it there. They came back to it and had even more dumb things to say.
Right.
Marcia Blackburn doesn't have a brain.
And, you know, I have all of my family pretty much. Charlie lives in North Carolina. And here you are quoting Governor McCrory. Well, I believe there's climate change. I'm not sure you can call climate warming anymore, especially here in the Carolinas. Oh, my God. Dummy, dummy, dummy. I think the big debate is how much of it's man-made and how much will just naturally happen as the Earth evolves. No. And then, as you say, he doesn't ask him about...
As the Earth evolves into a cinder.
Right, right. And as you say, holy Jesus H. Christ on a ventilator, George. Coal ash. Ask him about the coal ash that Duke Energy just loosed into the Dan River and then tried to whistle past the people of the state on an ongoing disaster in which he himself is entangled because he used to work for Duke Energy.
Uh-huh.
So they don't even, and he's sitting right there talking about cleaning up the environment.
But
and not even a question?
For 4 days, he didn't tell people how dangerous it was. They were pretending it was completely safe.
Right, but it's just... But
well, they're still doing it now, and one of the other pipes seems to be collapsing.
Great.
So, that's fine, because Pat McCrory yesterday got a guy at a grocery store fired for saying thanks for nothing to him. Did you see that story?
I did not.
That's a wonderful story. He went to a grocery store in Charlotte, and the guy was waiting on him and realized who he was waiting on and said, thanks for nothing. He went to the store owner and got the guy fired.
Oh, wow. My God.
Oh, my God.
What a class act. It's on Talking Points memo. That's why I just put it on my own blog. About 5 minutes ago. So you're getting blog updates almost instantly.
Wow.
You know what they say in North Carolina, in Harris Teeter we trust.
They used to say we're not as dumb as the other Carolina, but I'm not exactly sure we can go there.
But I mean, it is more, it goes to your point every week, Charlie, of journalism. That you don't even, it'd be too rude to ask him about that. So, honey, you know, because you want to book him again.
I don't understand how you book him this week after he's already had one really embarrassing press conference where he couldn't answer any questions about his relationship with Duke Energy, and you don't even ask him about that.
Yeah.
I was floored.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you say, you're quoting him on, it was with Schieffer, right? He says, Governor, we're walking that fine line of keeping our environment clean, but continuing the economic recovery, making sure things like power are affordable for the consumer. Schieffer, all right, well, Governor, we want to wish you and the folks down there in North Carolina the very best.
All right.
Oh, boy. Yeah, once again, we'll have to, and you say, especially the people around the Dan River who will be dining on three-headed trout for a decade. I mean, anyway. Nobody does it better than you, the Sunday roundup.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you. But, I have a lot. This week I had a lot of material. This week I thought, when Tuesday announced what was going to be on, I knew it would be a target-rich environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing you bring up is, you say the lawless president narrative seems to have reached that stage in our national dialogue, some people are saying things about it that the courtier press feels obligated to cover the controversy. And, and you say, can you see the Congress making a serious attempt to reestablish the constitutional war powers that it deeded away piecemeal to the executive over the past 70 years? And you're right. Of course, there will be no sense of history in this whole thing. The one thing you always bring up is Iran-Contra.
If we were actually going to have a debate over presidential power and that didn't come down to our guy is a nicer authoritarian than your guy, then I'd be all for it. But we're not going to have that.
Yeah.
Because as soon as there's a Republican president, he starts signing executive orders. You're not going to hear anything from these people.
Well, you always
and
talk.
Vice versa. And you're not. And I'm not hearing enough. I'm not hearing enough from our side of the aisle from those people who were so horrified by George Bush's signing statement. Charlie Savage is right about all of this. It's an institutional problem with the presidency.
But you always
and the only people who can solve it are the other institutions of government.
You always go back to for all the kids and kittens listening that don't remember Iran-Contra. You say that's the moment. As you may recall, Iran-Contra was essentially an attempt by the Reagan White House to evade a law prohibiting direct American aid to the various priest killers and nun rapers we were supporting in Central America. I mean, it really is just that, that just gets whitewashed out of history, in the
That to me will always be the great lost opportunity. Because not only did a lot of guys get away scot-free who later plagued us in the Bush era, in the second Bush era, rather, but that was a time where you could have reigned in the president's powers in foreign affairs, and you could have broken the theory under which Dick Cheney governed the country for 8 years, and they didn't, and nobody did it, including the press, because they all chickened out. They didn't want to pick on Ronald Reagan, and they didn't even want to think about removing him from office, even though he clearly broke the law. And to me, that will always be a much bigger scandal than Watergate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way,
to the mullahs, for God's sake.
Speaking of missed opportunities, first of all, you point out what I often point out, and that is that Howard Dean has been right about everything. But you say, remember when he made such a pest of himself with that ludicrous 50-state strategy? I didn't realize this. You said for the first time in Alabama history, the Democrats are not running anyone for the U.S. Senate.
Oh, my God.
Against the elfin Senator Jeff Sessions.
Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions, yeah.
Right, right. Who should send
him? By the way, that's his actual name.
That is not. Yeah.
It
really.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God!
Yes.
That's horrifying.
I mean, the only thing better is if his baptismal name had been Foghorn.
Or could they have thrown Hitler in there somewhere?
Stop it! But you said he should have to spend the next 6 months at least getting the crap kicked out of him by a Democrat. But come on, what's happening to democracy?
Well, sometimes it's on us, I mean, and if there are no Democrats in Alabama willing to take on this clown, who's really been a destructive force in our politics, then shame on them.
And just quite coincidentally, is about 4 feet tall and lives in a tree making cookies. I'm just saying, we're scared of him?
They're baking magic ovens, and there's no factory. Hey!
I love you, Charlie Pierce. See you next week.
Talk to you next week,
right,
guys.
Bye,
hey,
honey.
Hey, look.
I'm sorry. Travis, find out what the hey listen was. Sorry, I was too quick on the... Okay. All right. I suck. Boo! Boo!
Boo! The queen of putrescence!
Boo! I'm going to stone myself. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look! The two symbols of the Republican Party. An elephant and a big fat white guy who's threatened by change.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Max, Fran, stop it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 15 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. We love having people here from Free Speech TV like Than that tell us things that puff up our already enormous egos.
That's right. Really?
The traffic to all the sites, freespeech.org, Roku, all that stuff, it's up 1,300% since we've been on.
Wow.
We're exploding.
That's right.
We're crossing the stream. Something's happening. It's
dogs and cats sleeping together.
Right? It's mayhem. It's mayhem.
Important safety check. Thank you.
We love you, too, everybody. By the way, progressivevoices.com, also an excellent way to listen.
Yep.
Elizabeth, right, Steph, want to thank you for having your show on the Progressive Voices app. I live in San Diego and can't listen to you otherwise. Well, of course not. Of course not.
Yeah, just get the TuneIn Radio app. It is free. And search for Progressive Voices and put the entire channel on there.
Of course you can't listen. Not that I'm bitter about corporate radio. I'm very, very bitter. I've been bitter since.
Very bitter.
By the time I got to the fifth grade, I was very bitter. Very, very bitter. A bitter, bitter person.
Speaking of which, oh, George Zimmerman, very bitter, very whiny, very, very whiny. I could not even watch that interview.
Yeah.
By the way, George Zimmerman apparently has eaten boat two of the original George Zimmermans.
He's large.
And he wants to get in the ring and box people?
That ain't happening.
He'd just be a big target. He's like a punching bag.
Yes. Sure, he looks like a Rock'em Sock'em robot at this point. No neck. Thank you. He says he's now...
Rock'em Sock'em robots are angular.
So sad. He said he's now homeless. What did you say?
I said Rock'em Sock'em robots are angular.
They're angular.
There's nothing angular about that.
No, he's all round.
He looks like a snowman.
All right. He's like the Russian doll, but just the first one. There's nothing gets smaller.
Nothing gets smaller. Yeah.
Okay.
He's basically a pear, a giant pear.
You know what? I don't know why we have to take it to this level.
I don't either.
Oh, I know, because he shot an innocent, unarmed teenager.
Yeah.
Okay.
And got away with it.
He says he's now homeless, Jim, battling post-traumatic stress disorder.
Oh. The stress of having shot a kid and get away with it.
At least he's living on the street.
More than $2 million in debt and lives in fear of his life.
Oh.
Yeah, you want to know who else was in fear of his life? Trayvon Martin.
Asked if he still thought he'd done the right thing.
Really?
There's still
he
a
said,
question? People are asking that?
Yeah. He said, in my mind, and between God and me.
Ugh.
Well, that's what Jesus would do.
Sure. Who would Jesus shoot?
Right. I know that if I did not act the way I acted, I would not be here. Yeah, sure, because I could have taken a Skittle in the eye that could have then gotten into my bloodstream somehow. Caused an aneurysm.
Caused my entire bloodstream to become delicious.
Since the trial, he has been in the news, you may recall, for a variety of other matters, including a speeding ticket and a police call to his home over a domestic dispute with his wife. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm sorry, I'm not done. Honestly, I would love to live a calm life without being in the press. Well, then stop shooting people and hitting your wife, you fat moron. I apologize for the fat part.
Everything else.
Okay.
I mean, he must be very afraid around sidewalks. They might just jump up and hit him in the head.
Yeah, exactly. I would like to boo myself again. Sorry. That was an extraneous insult.
Uh-huh.
Boo me. Okay, let's go to Kelly in West Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Kelly.
Good morning, gang.
Good morning.
First, I would like to say how glad I am that you are back on telly.
Thank you.
Y'all look great. The studio looks great. Who cares what people think about that lamp? I wanted to comment on.
Wait a minute!
I got solar energy.
Hang on, everybody!
Hold on one second. Hold on. She needs to. Yeah, she is showing people
the lamp.
You can't see it.
It's actually very pretty.
Okay. All right. You can begin
you just
talking.
Bonk your dad on the head with it.
Well, whenever she's sitting there talking, it looks like a designer.
dancing pole.
It is not a stripper pole. It's a beautiful Tiffany lamp that I got because you people complained about the one that was there.
Yeah, but it looks like a stripper pole in the shot.
Because you can't see the actual
light. It looks like some designer Moroccan stripper pole. You can dance on it or replace it.
Natasha, just change the shot to get the light. Who cares? Nobody cares about me. Just get the shot from...
Clearly we need some Moroccan strippers in here.
Oh, Jim tricked me into getting him hookers and blow again.
That's great.
All right.
Okay, well, let me get back to my point. I live in West Virginia, and, you know, West Virginia's eat up with coal and chemicals in the water, and we have giant coal slurry ponds and all this other stuff. And I'm very anti-coal, so it's kind of rough for me here sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I was always taught that you lead by example. So,
well, I just read a story the other day. Where is it? Well, all these miners trapped underground again. And you just, like, you see these stories, and you just, we can't keep clinging to the old ideas. That's why we had, the author of Creating Climate Wealth on today, because it's like we don't have to be relegated to a future of only oil and coal and other dirty.
Where was it? Was it Peru or Chile where the miners were?
Chilean miners.
Chile, yeah, and they were all rescued.
Yeah.
Our guys die.
Yeah, what was that company?
They rescue their people.
The company, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Find a million times, you know. Craig in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Craig.
Well, hello, Steph. How are you?
Oh, hello.
First time caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh, yes, I can.
Okay, first time caller. And although I don't agree with you guys all the time, you know, you're entertaining, and, you know, I like listening to you, especially when I'm on my way to work and back. Here's my thing about climate change. I don't argue the point because I believe there is climate change. But I do disagree with the argument that it's because of man, human beings. Right. We've had climate change.
So this is not really an opinion question anymore. This is really something that's been decided by science.
Let me make my point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's been climate change on this planet for eons.
Sure, because of volcanoes.
You're in New York. You're in New York.
I'm in California.
You're in California. Sorry. I thought that's right. You moved out there. I'm sorry. I forgot. Okay. Anyway, listen. Right. In Pennsylvania, at one time where I live, 50 miles north of Philadelphia, this was covered by glaciers, thousands of feet high. Guess what? We had global warming. They melted. There was no people here. I watched the program on National Geographic about how they found fossils of snakes and alligators and turtles that were 10 times bigger than today. And the scientists say, how could they be that big? Because back then the temperature was way hotter than it is today.
Right.
And we went through a global cooling, and now we have global warming again. It's a natural phenomenon.
Right.
Now, we may consider it
a natural phenomenon.
Well, there has been in the past, because volcanoes obviously have a similar effect as coal-powered plants. It doesn't mean that man has has nothing to do with climate change. That's a bunch of horse dung.
Thank you, Jim.
Wow.
That's a scientific
It's only term. Argued by people who are connected to the oil and coal industries.
Thank you. It's first of all,
actual
we keep
scientists.
Saying it's climate change. It is, yes. Okay. I don't even know. This is what I mean.
Well, changed before.
Because
our
mainstream media has, this is like, remember in school, you had the, you know, science and math, and then you had the, it's the opinion. I was always much better at the BS subjects that you could BS your way through. You know, there was... like hard and fast, right and wrong, but
mass.
It's not an opinion question.
No, but look at all the ads on the news programs. It's all about oil and gas and all this stuff. And how clean and safe it is.
Yeah. Ooh, there's little green things in windmills. It must be good. All right, right back with Bob Seska and more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. How many canceled TV shows ago is this cup from?
Anybody?
Anybody?
Four.
Yeah. I think more like that. From my late night TV show in 1995.
Yeah, I'm beginning to be able to count your canceled TV shows on two
hands.
Well,
sometimes, in fairness to me, I did not just get my show canceled. I got the entire network either sold or canceled.
Well done.
Yeah.
You kind of do.
And that's, you know what, that's not easy. Careful free speech.
Didn't you have two shows on Oxygen?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, I just thought it was apropos in that Jimmy Fallon just started last night as a Tonight Show host, and my picture's right over there with Jay Leno, who I was on his show to promote this show. 1995.
And now Jay Leno's gone.
Welcome, Jimmy Fallon.
I'm Jimmy Fallon, and I'll be your host for now.
Danny Bonaducci's waiting in the wings.
Of course, I wouldn't be here tonight if it weren't for the previous Tonight Show host, so I want to say thank you to Steve Allen, Jack Parr, Johnny Carson, Jay Leno, Conan O'Brien, and Jay Leno. Very, very nice. Amazing.
All right. Good luck, Jimmy.
And he's getting incredible reviews on last night's show.
Good. As you know, we never watch because we go to bed at
it's stupid o'clock.
Get up at
insane o'clock.
Right. Yeah, and then it's too late. Then it's old news by today. But I'm sure he's doing great.
I could have recorded it, but I fell asleep.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, good. All right. Speaking of shows, kids, fabulous comedy shows. You know what I'm saying.
It doesn't matter if you're gay or straight, like Marcus Bachman.
Right.
Clang, clang, clang with the trolley.
You were born this way, baby.
Ding, ding, ding with a bell.
You are a sexy liberal.
Yeah.
Sexy liberal. You are sexy. Sexy liberal.
March 1st, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It's Gay Pride Weekend, and the Sexy Liberal Gang will be performing along with special guests Jackie Schechner and Judy Tenuta at the Parker Playhouse.
Oh.
So strap on those party hats, kids.
Yay!
Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
You know, everybody's welcome.
Yeah, real cute.
Hey, don't I know you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You're that barbarians need to be disciplined guy.
Oh, that corn dog of yours looks delicious.
Nom, 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 nom.
Andre in Minneapolis is just adorable. Oh, by the way, look at this one here. We forgot one.
What?
The one, the TV show that we were all pre-fired from. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
When we filmed for Imus, when he got fired on MSNBC.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we knew we were going to be pre-fired. We knew we were only going for 3 days.
3 days, yeah.
However, Margie says, Steph, I found this email from 2007 yesterday. After finding out you were not going to be continuing, we were never going to be continuing on that network. No. Marjorie wrote to the MSNBC executives at the time, what kind of bleeps are you people at MSNBC not telling Stephanie about the sweat yesterday? This is the...
Oh, that. Yes.
I was not used to being under those kind of lights.
You pitted out that shirt something fierce.
For three
and you
hours.
Kept raising your arms.
Yeah, well, you guys didn't say anything either.
Well,
Cindy Brady, you were too... You looked like you had a heart attack the whole time. You were like... Or on TV. Now you don't care anymore.
I don't give a crap.
Yeah.
But we were replaced by Squint and the Meat Puppet.
Right. He's the only one that can work under those bright lights without...
Right.
No wonder he squints. This is the best show MSNBC has ever aired, morning, noon, or night. Why is she talking about leaving on Wednesday? Oh, your bleeps. Okay. Well, thanks for that, Margie. That we never even got an opportunity to have cups made for that show.
No.
I want to get my cup before I get fired.
But we did get a nice tour of the Meadowlands.
Yeah. Oh, my friend is, there's a bunch of baseball hats from the current TV show talking liberally out in the garage. And my friend is like, can I take them? I'm like, sure. Sure, go ahead, advertise for a show that's not anymore. What do I care?
That's a network that doesn't even exist anymore.
Right. Okay. Laura in Denver, about Phoenix Sexy Liberal, which all y'alls were, and you were there, and you were there.
It was a lot of fun.
Laura, hi, Steph. I had a great time at Sexy Liberal Phoenix last weekend. It was my first show ever.
Ooh.
Virgin. A surprise Valentine from my husband who flew us all the way from Denver.
City by the Bay.
From the Bay.
I remember talking to this couple.
I know, me too.
Yes.
Anyway, just wanted you to know what an honor it was to finally meet you. Of course. Even though I was completely starstruck, and why wouldn't you be?
Oh, come on.
I could barely form two words to say to you during Meet and Grow Up. I've listened to the show for over 5 years now. I was nervous all day to meet my hero. One can only imagine why one would be intimidated to meet...
That.
This. The entire show was fantastic. I laughed so hard I cried. We were sitting two rows in front of your hot girl on girl kiss. That was awesome. Thanks for an amazing, sexy, liberal evening. Thank you, Laura, and your handsome, romantic Valentine's husband.
I forgot you give a little HLA during each show.
Yeah. How else would I get any?
Yeah.
Okay. By the by, and also, I don't know if you know, but I'm an app. I'm not just a woman, I'm an app.
That's right.
Mike is listening, used to listen in Seattle, now listen on progressivevoices.com and your site, stephaniemiller.com. Hooray. Oh, Mary is one of the, you know, how's that, the Patriot doing over on the, our old station here?
No.
Oh, is that, did they open the broadcast day with that?
With the horse.
With Fatherland?
Yeah. No, that's the... Oh, Fatherland, Fatherland, show us the way.
Dear Steph, Jim, Chris, Travis, Max, Fred, et cetera, et cetera. As a loyal listener for over a decade, I was distraught, depressed, disheartened, just plain pissed when K-Talk became Gag the Patriot. Mm-hmm. But happy clappiness has once again descended on the land because of Progressive Voices.
Because only extreme right-wingers can be patriots.
That's right.
I even broke down and finally bought a smartphone so I can listen to you during my morning bike ride. Much thanks for everything, especially the fart jokes. You are welcome.
Yeah, I saw a billboard for the Patriot while driving back from Phoenix.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Wow.
I just think I'm
They're putting promotion into it.
Great. Wonder where that was when we were on.
Thanks.
Huh. Mm. Ah, perfect. Let's go to, perfect. Hope they all get cups. Enjoy the cup now.
Welcome Danny Bonaducci to the Patriot Channel.
Eddie in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Eddie.
Good morning, Steph. Good morning, Mook.
Good morning.
So just one thing before I get started. Moving to San Francisco in summer, so if you're planning a sexy liberal show up there, wait until after July, and then we can make sure we see that.
Oh,
well.
Let me write that down. Okay.
We're pretty
so
full up in, through June. So
yes, we're through up through June, but you never know what might be happening.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Excellent. Well, I just wanted to respond to the people that say that we don't know if climate change is man-made or nature,
right?
Just being nature. Well, it's the exact same thing with forest fires. A good number of forest fires are actually naturally occurring,
sure.
But we don't go out and, you know, just ignore the forest fires, nor do we go out and spread gasoline on them. We do what we can to fight the forest fire.
Exactly.
And that's the exact same thing with climate change or global warming or whatever you want to call it. It's ridiculous to fight the reason on why it's happening. We have to fight the effects.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I love it. It's just nature being scampy. It's just nature being a...
It's God's will.
Yeah. Claire in Mississippi. Hi, Claire. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi, Mook.
Hello.
Y'all keep me saying.
Really?
That is always very disturbing to me.
Yeah,
we are all so lightly tethered to our own sanity, Claire. I would rethink that if I were you.
I'm calling because I have a solar array on my garage.
Oh, good.
And I try to live in the 21st century. I drive a Prius. But my solar array, I put up as an investment that would be for me and carry on with its value. And I am one of two people in this large rural electric cooperative system. And nobody around here is interested in living beyond you know, the late 1900s.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's exactly uh-huh. right. That's what this is about. It's about the future, and you've got to have some people that are looking forward.
Not what I heard on the Telegraph this morning.
I'm not contributing. I have Norma Desmond's car, but I...
Yes. They only want you for your car.
Well, I need them to want me for something. Walter in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Walter.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm a solar contractor in Virginia where there are virtually no state incentive programs for solar because of the coal industry here.
Yep.
Oy.
But I have found that if you have a good site with good solar exposure, it makes economic sense for most everyone, even in a state like Virginia. The payback is 15 years or less. And basically it comes down to a choice of either making a stream of payments for your energy that goes to the local utility to rent your electricity, or you can take that stream of payments and invest in your own solar energy generation system, which you own.
Right.
And after 15 years, it's generating free energy for you.
And
yep.
also,
and
if there's a big winter storm, you don't have to worry about the lines going down
no.
and you're losing your electricity.
Yeah.
Because you're self-generating.
Yeah, exactly. Paul in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I'm calling about the global warming thing.
Thing, yes.
A previous caller in Pennsylvania was calling about and saying something about the difference in history, how temperatures change. It's
right.
The extremes that make this so bad. It's how many times in the past 2 decades have we heard the worst?
Yeah.
As far as storms, you know, and hurricanes, everything.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. Bob Seska of the Daily Banter coming up and much more as we continue 17 minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
You just blew my mind.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Let me live that fantasy.
Can I call you Elliot Connor?
No.
Okay.
Please. 22 minutes after the hour, Jim saw Tom Brokaw in the Phoenix airport after Sexy Liberal. What are the chances?
Yeah. It was eerie.
Wasn't there some sort of space-time continuum? Didn't like a wormhole in the universe open?
Wow.
Stop, he's just like, stop making fun of me about my holes. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, dear God, why didn't you inform me earlier? There is a clown shortage in the United States? Jim, we have a clown shortage.
Dear God, a clown shortage.
The hell is this, really?
One of our clowns is missing.
Is there no God?
Is clearly not. Clearly not. Oh, my God.
You know who went to clown college? David Lee Roth.
Really?
Before he was a big
rock
star.
Really? You know why there's a clown shortage? Because they were all in the Republican primary. Hey!
Nah, nah, nah.
They're hogging all the clowns. Okay. All right. Oh, Senator Rand Paul, by the way, speaking of elections, making things a little difficult. Ted Cruz actually just gummed up the works for Yertle in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Rand Paul, this seems like a lukewarm endorsement.
You know, things are complicated with regard to endorsements.
Yeah,
but I would say, one, because he asked me, and two, because he asked me when he did not have an opponent and wasn't a choice at that time. But three, also, I am somebody who believes in bringing people together.
And four, I really don't like when people make fun of my hair.
Oh, by the way, he's in a little a plagiarism sticky wicket once again. Did you see that?
Yeah.
We talked about that the other day, that the his fake lawsuit against the NSA, the cooch.
Uh-huh.
He hired the cooch. Yeah, they stole another lawyer's whole, all his work in it.
Wow.
Oh, Rand. Rand. When will you learn?
I don't believe in regulation or laws of any kind. I just think we all ought to be free to...
Yeah, Ted Cruz has given Mitch McConnell serious turtle trouble, Jim.
Turtle trouble.
He may have to, instead of the Senate, go back into a...
turtle tunnel.
That was actually him. Yeah. He actually said that.
Turtle tunnel.
Salon writes, Ted Cruz just doomed the GOP, but not in the way you think. Last week, the seams holding together factions of the Republican Party burst open once again.
I do not like turtles and ham.
They're like a pair of Chris Christie's pants. Once again, Ted Cruz was the guy scraping at them with a scalpel. He didn't shut down the government or talk himself hoarse on the Senate floor, but he did spoil his leadership's plan to let Senate Democrats increase the debt limit on their own without implicating any individual Republicans, including the highest-ranking Republican, the aforementioned Yertle, who just happens to be in the midst of an unexpectedly tough election.
Oh.
Now several Republicans, including McConnell, must wear the scarlet letters whenever they face conservative activists.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. That's unfortunate.
I can't get out of this place fast enough.
No, he can't get out of any place fast
enough.
Here
I go. There's the other foot.
Slow and steady may not win that race.
No, not at all.
He may be talking to a Senator Allison Lungergan-Grimes. Let's see here. Hey, Bruce in Maine, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bruce. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
I would like to be the official Bruce in Maine of the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right.
And I sent you a Goldwater Miller bumper sticker last year.
Oh, thank you. I think that's right out of my bookcase. Yeah, go ahead.
But the reason I called was I'm not against solar energy, but it depends on the parties that are in power, because my parents in 79, they built a house, and they built it along these guidelines where it had to be 2x6 and it had to have all this, and they put in a heat pump and all that stuff. 2 years later, Reagan retroactively took away all those solar energy credits.
Aye. Yeah.
And my parents got nailed for $20,000.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're...
Well, there I go again.
Yeah, there he went again. Yeah. By the way, that's the other thing you should... We were talking about economic sense. It does boost your resale value of your home as well.
Mm-hmm.
Solar. This story you just sent me a couple days ago, Chris.
Yep.
Speaking of trying to boost your property value, a couple tried to have their neighbor committed to boost their property value. I'm like, what? That's... Is that bad? Is that wrong? A banker and his artist wife wanted a bigger backyard so badly that they terrorized their deaf, old, retired church warden neighbor for 5 years.
Wow.
God.
At one point, even filing false reports in an attempt to have her declared insane and committed.
Wow. The banker ought to be declared insane and committed.
Oh, wow. Yikes.
You can hear nothing good about bankers anymore.
They're all Mr. Potter.
Yeah. I ain't George Bailey. You're nothing but a frustrated young man.
Yeah, when have you ever heard a good thing about a banker?
Oh, a banker once told me. Oh, no.
That's never mind. Never
okay,
mind.
Then.
Dennis in Manhattan Beach. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, good morning, kids. I wanted to call in. I come out of the concentrated solar power industry at the utility scale, and I've been listening to the majority of what you've been talking about as panels, and I follow legislation really closely, and I think you guys touched on the ALEC ramping up for 2014, 15, and 16 to address a state-by-state issue of dialing back the incentives and tax credits. And what's really interesting about this is that they are even going as far as to, because you getting these credits and you having your rates reduced, they want to relabel everybody as freeloaders because what they're getting is free. And in a democratic society, you shouldn't get power for free. And you're actually placing those costs on the individuals and the utility companies themselves, the fossil fuel power generating utility companies.
That's insane.
And it's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But this is where they're looking to take it to relabel you and I, if we have panels in our homes or a business that has panels, as freeloaders.
Well, thank you,
and
Koch
in a democratic
brothers.
Society, we should get nothing for free.
Yeah, I mean, they do that with everything, the social safety net, food stamps, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean,
bastards.
Right, minimum wage. It's like, you know, everybody's just a lazy moocher to them. I mean, it's really.
But I don't see how they can be successful with that. I mean, I kind of see the Social Security part, whatever. But I don't know. They're solar panels that you pay for yourself.
Right.
You put on
right.
your own roof, and the sun is not delivered by any company.
Right.
So
that's the problem.
I don't see how they would be successful. Yeah, I don't see how
we
they'd be successful in labeling
the
it
sun.
Such.
It's our sun, damn you.
Well, Jim, here's the saddest thing you're going to hear. We're about to hit a hard break. And Road Flare Mary says there's no such thing as global warming.
Ah.
Darn it.
Oh,
we don't have time right
we have
now.
No time.
That's too bad. Such a shame.
She's causing global warming just with her camels.
Yeah.
Okay, Bob Seska next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Do I smell vodka and wheatgrass?
Yes, you do.
Indeed. It is the Breakfast of Champions.
That's right.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Just reading my, finishing my Bob Seska and Daily Banter. Why?
Why?
Because I agree with every word he says about everything ever in the history of ever.
Okay.
If he told you 2 plus 2 equals 7, would you believe that?
Yes.
Okay.
Good morning, Bob Seska.
Good morning.
Aloha.
Mahalo.
Mahalo and all of that. So, great stuff this week. We can't talk about Steve Stockman too much, in my personal opinion, first of all. he is the wacky, he's running against noted liberal John Cornyn.
Sure.
In Texas.
Yeah.
Yes, and your headline is, Steve Stockman files libel suit alleging he was never arrested for smuggling drugs in his underpants.
A hush.
This is such a perfect storm. I just love, love, love this story.
I know.
And I have to pat myself on the back for the really derpy photo I found of him.
Yes. It really is derpy. His tongue is, you know what? My Great Pyrenees does that when he's sleeping. The tongue half out, that kind of...
Yeah, he's Steve Stockman's knitting in this photo.
I just love any story in which I can continually say underpants.
you're right.
You say we've been following the bizarre political career of a Twitter troll and paleo-conservative Tea Party Congressman Representative Steve Stockman for some time now, ever since his declaring his intention to run against Senator John Cornyn in the primary. This is hard to believe. The Stockman story has grown more ludicrous. Let's recap, you say. Soon after declaring, his campaign headquarters were condemned. The first primary polling data showed Stockman with only 6% support. He received exactly 0 votes in a Tea Party straw poll. That's hard to do.
Wow.
And now Stockman's been caught up in a fracas over whether he was arrested in 1977 for smuggling into jail a controlled substance, Valium, hidden inside his, once again, underpants.
Mm. His underpants. Right. Yeah. I don't know whether to be so delighted about his underpants or just completely repulsed. And by the way, saying that his campaign headquarters were condemned is being nice. His campaign headquarters looked like Buffalo Bill's creepy basement. I mean, it was really disgusting. I thought it was going to be like a well with, you know, people down there waiting to be skinned so he can wear them as suits.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
And Jim, being a liberal helper, I believe last time we talked about this, tried to give him the benefit of the doubt on the Valium in his underpants and said sometimes your penis is tense.
you need to relax it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, they slipped the Valium inside that fly area of his underpants, that completely useless fly area. I don't know about you guys, but I've never used that, and you have to have some sort of weirdly shaped anatomy to get around that dog leg. But I guess it's designed to hold Valium, which I never knew.
Well, there you go. It could be related to, as you report here, there are other gems in a profile in him that included his description of himself as a stutterino.
I'm sorry, what?
A stutterino.
Okay.
Well, didn't he say his girlfriend put the Valium in his underpants?
Yeah. She shoved it in there right before he was going into prison for the weekend.
I guess
that's real smart.
I guess that's foreplay for them, huh?
He was, you know what? Come to think of it, he was kind of a cool guy in 1977. Not only did he have Valium in his underpants, but he looked like Neil Young.
Yeah.
There is a town.
By the way, you say it's difficult to pinpoint a bigger clown show than the Stockman campaign. This could relate to the clown shortage that we just reported on. This. There is a clown shortage because they are all in the Republican Party now. I hope you're happy, Bob.
Yeah, I figured if he didn't get the Valium in his underpants, he could have put them in his clown shoes.
That's a lot of Valium.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Snowden so we can lose Jim entirely now. The latest Snowden revelation is another clear example of reporters misleading the public. Yeah, I saw this headline in the New York Times about spying by NSA ally entangled U.S. law firm. Tell us about this.
Well, this is a Laura Poitras, James Risen thing. I was kind of surprised to see it from Risen, who, you know, I generally respect as a journalist. I mean, it's what was strange about this to me is it's specifically about the Australian counterpart to the NSA,
which
is the Australian Signals Directorate.
Right,
and
headline
was mentioned once in the whole piece. I mean, throughout an entire, I think it was 2,000 words, I think we see, you know, that specific spy agency mentioned exactly once, while the NSA was mentioned 32 times.
Well, right. You say it was transparently intended to mislead people into thinking the NSA lawlessly spied on American lawyers. So you say the reporters cleverly didn't mention which agency is specifically doing the spying until the middle of the third paragraph, while we discover it wasn't the NSA who's spying on the law firm at all. It was, as you just said, the Australian Signals Directorate and the law firm, possibly an outfit called Mayor Brown, represented the government of Indonesia in trade talks with the U.S.
Yeah. I mean, here's my concern in all of this, Stephanie, is that, you know, there's some well-known studies that have been done in terms of how people read digital journalism. And they, well, the fact of the matter is they don't. I mean, they basically see one or two sentences, they skim a little bit. Most people don't even scroll down. They go to the first click, and they see what's at the top. And, you know, typically it's hard for people to read 2,000 words on their lunch break or without their manager walking up behind them and seeing them doing it. So, you know, either that or, you know, short attention span makes this a really difficult needle to thread in terms of getting the actual details out there. And my concern is that people are getting the wrong impression of what exactly is going on. Now, if they got the right impression of what was going on and it was still outrageous, okay, that's fine. We can have that debate as to whether or not this, all these sort of things should continue. But the impression that I'm getting is that they're not getting the right information. What you get if you just skim this, and I swear to God, I read the first sentence of this, the lead sentence, and instantly thought, oh no, the NSA really stepped in it now. And it was just because they the way the lead sentence is implied is that the NSA and its overseas partners are spying on an American lawyer or an American law firm. And that's just the way the first sentence is written. And then you have to go down, you actually have to scroll to see Australian Signals Directorate listed down there.
Yep. Bob, let's go back to something we all can agree on, and that is that Brian Fisher is, as you describe him, a crackpot radio host.
Yeah.
We covered this earlier this week, but it cannot be said enough. He declares, "I love black males," as a reason for banning homosexual.
Yeah. That guy.
Yes, that guy. Family Radio Flavin, whatever is it.
Yeah.
He said that it's really his deep, profound love of black men that motivated this, right?
Yeah, he loves black men, which is why he referred to them as running like rabbits when they're on welfare assistance.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is, I mean, you want to talk about sort of the poster boy for wingnut, you know, conservative entertainment complex talkers. This is the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's from the American Family Association. He does this radio show, and it's really kind of an anti-gay crusade is what he's doing on the show.
Well, anything usually is anti-gay.
And by the way, One Topic Radio is fabulously entertaining if you just talk about the same thing every day, all 3 hours, every day.
Right.
So, yeah, but he actually, and I remember we did the story, Chris, and he actually he got the statistics wrong that he based his whole premise on, but he basically was saying, you know, a huge percentage of black men dying of AIDS, and it's because he wants to save them that he wants,
No, I mean, this is staggering insofar as, you know, if you look at it in the context of what he said about African Americans, what, you know, the sort of crusade he's been on. I mean, I listed, I don't know, there's a dozen things that he said. This is just from Right Wing Watch alone, and just from since November. You know, it just was like one thing after another. He had a guy on his show who purported to be an ex-gay, ex-Nazi, ex-Satanist.
Wow.
Because obviously he's trying to conflate these very obvious forms of evil on his show, right?
Right.
Because Nazis are so fond of the homosexuals.
Right.
So.
I had to clean up all the pentagrams in here before we started on Free Speech TV. You know how it is.
Well, I mean, his point, he seems to suggest that if we ban homosexuality, then there's not going to be an HIV/AIDS crisis, which, you know, I wrote in this piece that in Africa, homosexuality is illegal in 38 nations, and it's subject to the death penalty in 3. Obviously, there's no HIV/AIDS crisis in Africa, right?
Yeah, right. Really? Yeah, I know. And you, as you say, he obviously supports Uganda's anti-gay law. It is amazing, isn't it, Bob, that we're moving forward so quickly on gay rights here. And you're like, what the hell is going on in Africa? It's, you know, I just read two headlines this weekend. I mean, one was the Uganda law and another was a, you know, bunch of, I think it was in Nigeria, a bunch of, you know, homosexual men were almost beaten to death. I mean, but you're right. It's crackpots in this country that support those kind of laws.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, I think it's Nigeria where homosexuality is punishable by death, and it also happens to have the highest rate of HIV/AIDS.
Yeah. Go figure. Oh, you take us through some of his greatest hits. He thinks parents of gay children should scold their kids and tell them they're heading down a path of destruction and death.
Nice.
Well, there's a good bedtime story.
Yeah, then he turns around and says that it's actually a form of child abuse to allow your child to be gay.
Ah, okay. He accused Dick Cheney's lesbian daughter of being an intolerant lesbian bigot. What now?
What?
That's. I'd have to untangle that to even. Okay. Yeah.
Ay vey. Anyway, I'm glad you noted the same. We were just saying that is it's interesting he didn't say anything about the Trayvon Martin trial or this latest one. If he has such a love of black men, huh? You would think.
Yeah. Right Wing Watch can't catch it all. I mean, you know, there's probably a whole lot more.
There's only so many hours in the day.
Yeah. Tip of the iceberg.
Exactly. Bob Seska, great stuff as always. Talk to you next week, sir.
Thanks so much, Stephanie. Bye-bye.
All right. Mahalo. Aloha. Mahalo. Aloha. I forget which is which.
Aloha. Mahalo is, mahalo is thank you. Aloha is hello and goodbye.
Well, both. Okay. All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Is it possible that I sometimes have maybe like tiny mini strokes and then they just resolve quickly?
I think that's what happened right there.
I think so.
Yeah. Are you okay? Do you need a Heimlich? Do you need an aspirin?
No.
No?
Fine. Okay. I just need a groke from Jim. I'll be back to normal. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the dirtiest show I have ever been on in all of my life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie's favorite Norwegian band.
Yeah. Just before we...
There was a reason I asked that. Shut up.
Just before we came back on, she asked, is that a Norwegian?
They were some sort of Scandinavians. Okay.
Yeah, they all look alike up there.
Aha was from Norway.
You just did a Lawrence Fishburne, Samuel L. Jackson thing, didn't you?
I'm Scandinavian. Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, they're here. We're not letting you get away with that there.
I'm not Dennis Haysbert.
We're going to throw a lutefisk at you. Oofta. All right. Why do I bring this up?
Why?
Because ABBA admitted their outrageous outfits were worn to avoid taxes. Mm-hmm. Oh, they are Norwegian teabaggers.
Swedish.
Right. See, I did that on purpose.
No, you were
unsure
of yourself.
No, you live to correct me, and I give you something to live for every day, don't I?
Totally inadvertently.
You like to disparage me.
Remember when Harry Shearer said, I think you mean disparage? He corrected you when he was sitting in studio with us.
I know.
Yeah.
I like to see. Everybody can
help. I think he also corrected your use of posthumously.
Hmm. You
disparaged
yourself.
Well, see if I have nice things to say about him.
Posthumously.
good girl.
Thank you.
Yay.
Okay, the glittering hot pants, sequin jumpsuits, and platform heels that ABBA wore at the peak of their fame were designed not just for them to stand out, but for tax efficiency. Bjorn
Ulvaeus,
right, said, in my honest opinion, we looked like nuts in those years.
Well.
Nobody can be as badly dressed on stage as we were.
Yeah, but nobody looked good in the 70s. Nobody had good clothes in the 70s.
Polyester disco pants.
Yeah. 80s was worse. The band style was influenced in part by laws that allowed the cost of outfits to be deducted against tax so long as the costumes were so outrageous they could not possibly be worn on the street.
Oh, wow. All right.
Or on stage. Yeah.
That's an interesting fun fact. In other Norwegian news...
only one band came out of Norway, and that was Aha.
Take on me.
Yes.
Thank you.
Take me on.
Good to know. Okay. I believe children of the future, particularly Norwegian children...
I believe that children are future.
A 10-year-old Norwegian boy stole his parents' car, got caught, and pretended to be a dwarf who'd forgotten his driver's license.
Ah, that's kind of, wow. That's kind of adorable.
Come on, right? He's a thinker. The boy nabbed the car, loaded his 18-month-old sister into it, set off for his grandparents' house. Then he veered off the road into a ditch. He and his sister were unharmed. A snowplow driver saw him and alerted police. The boy told the snowplow driver he was a dwarf and he had forgotten his driver's license at home.
You don't look a bit like Peter Dinklage. You're not fooling anybody.
Although he did put the baby in danger. That's kind of...
Oh, the baby's fine. Lighten up.
I know.
All right.
I gave the baby a lutefisk helmet.
That worked.
By the way, speaking of shows with fabulous costumes and wild sex acts, Jim. Let's see, Kevin in Chicago. Stephanie Mooks, know why I love where I work? Because it's a 2-block walk to the Chicago Theater where I ran last week to get my first sexy liberal tickets. Had to knock some slow-walking loser out of the way to be in line.
But he said through clenched, bleeding teeth as he lay groaning, "Tell Steph I love her." So it's all good.
Oh, good.
Look for a bright-colored lunatic in the first row of the balcony. I'll be the ugly guy sitting next to the gorgeous woman who pitied me enough to marry me. Aww. Feel free to take her home with you, Steph. Teach her a few tricks. All right.
Ooh,
all right. Yeah, by the way, so next up, March 1st, Fort Lauderdale, and then we have a sexy liberal Madison, forget about it, been sold out forever, but that's why we're talking road trip, Madison, up to Chicago for the April 26th, the big show, which always sells out at the Chicago Theater. Albuquerque is in is Saturday, May 10th at Popejoy Hall, and sexy liberal Minneapolis bitches, once again, be crazy.
That's right.
That is for Saturday, June 7th. That box office also has done, did, exploded. When we announced that. So I would hurry on all of those. Macaroni, the official rapper of the Stephanie Miller Show. Steph, as a legit three-time Steph head, I get all excited when you guys start announcing dates. Wrote a song about it. Want to hear it?
Computer says yes.
Yes. Yes, I do, Macaroni. Yeah.
She's a nice girl. She do some nice things.
Right.
Like occasionally pissing off the right wing.
Yeah.
Every morning I wake up and do the right thing.
Yeah.
And the mooks help start my day off nicely. I'm invested. I'm well rested. Off the sexy liberal, the gathering of Steph heads. She in your town only one night. She brought Jim, Chris, even Rocky Mountain Mike. I'm about to turn up the night like I'm Kenny Pick. I'm about to burn up the mic. Man, I'm really sick. I'm addicted like a meth head. Hello, my name is Macaroni. I'm a Steph head. Progressive, minded on the issues. Will somebody give Vader a tissue? Cause we don't play the politics of skin tone. That's Obama derangement syndrome. Are you ready for the show? Sexy liberal, sexy liberal, sexy liberal. I'm sitting in the front row. Sexy liberal.
Yeah.
Sexy liberal.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Thank you, Mac. By the way, I knew we were going to hear from Chris in Yankton, well-known Scandahoovian listener.
Uh-oh, yeah, what'd he say?
I'm a Norwegian. Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no!
Also, excellent use of oofta, so I got some extra points back.
Oh, good.
Because I threw in a little oofta and a little lutefisket. Let's go to Bob in Connecticut. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Hi.
I was listening to you talking about the climate change. I've seen it with my own eyes actually take place from 1960 up to current time when I just retired. I was a commercial pilot. I got about 26,000 hours total time.
Wow.
Wow. Well, that's what, remember one of the astronauts said this, the female astronaut, didn't she say, like, you know, ooh, you got to see what we see from up here.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The ice caps are gone pretty much.
I can remember when I started flying, taking lessons out of Bridgeport, Connecticut, we used to take off and on runway 24, we could actually see New York skyline from Bridgeport Airport. And when we would fly out about 10, 15 miles north of the airport, there would be a practice area.
Wow.
And we would go through clouds of green and yellow and orange and brown colors. Mm. That was coming from the three coal-fired power plants.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Dirty environment. It's pretty, isn't it? Wow, as soon everybody's going to have to be instrument trained because no pilots will be able to see in any weather, right, because of climate change.
They already are in Beijing.
Climate wealth. Check it out on our Facebook page. Pick out the book we had the author on today. That's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.